Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 26 June 2025, 2 John.
Before we get started, we have a couple announcements. First of all, a couple of birthdays. Emily's birthday is tomorrow. She is back teaching the little people tonight. And she is affectionately called by me, E. Miley. So E. Miley's birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday to her. And Mr. Dim. His name's Tim, but affectionately called Mr. Dim. Now, it's his birthday Saturday. So happy birthday on you two. And then there's an announcement. VBS debrief meeting Sunday after the second class. So Vacation Bible School debrief. You're going to be put in light on you. Debriefed about the Vacation Bible School after the second class. Everyone involved with Vacation Bible School, please attend. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Las Ventanas Senior Living Center update. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, June 25th went very well. We had another good turnout. For the first time, a Las Ventanas employee who was helping Dorothy remained and sat on the sidelines. When asked if she wanted to join us, she said no. When we started, I offered her a Bible, but she declined. Nevertheless, she heard Pastor Olson teach about heaven. Well, since it's a heaven special, teach about heaven. And she heard the gospel message of salvation. So let's pray that God the Holy Spirit will make the message of salvation clear to her. We listened to the first half of lesson number 14 in the Heaven Special. In this lesson, Pastor Olson used passages in Philippians, 1 John, and the entire 24th chapter of Luke to describe some of the characteristics of our resurrection body. He explained how these passages describe Christ's resurrection body, and since our resurrection body will be just like his, then our resurrection body will be able to appear and disappear, communicate, you can talk with it, it can be seen and touched, you have the capacity to eat without gaining weight, and we will be able, capable of space travel in the blink of an eye. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And a very excellent article by Tom Gilbreth. With the battles that have been raging in the Middle East, warfare and combat are on all of our minds. Earlier this month, we commemorated the anniversary of the Normandy landing, D-Day. The first unconfirmed reports of the Allied landing hit U.S. radio stations a little after midnight Eastern wartime on 6 June 1944. Official confirmation came at 3:32 a.m. Most Americans woke up to the news. People poured into the streets. Many stores, restaurants, and other businesses closed for the day. Church bells tolled. Factory whistles blew. Some people stepped outside and shouted with excitement as though the battle had already been won. But most Americans were more measured in their response. D-Day historian Stephen Ambrose wrote, quote, "The impulse to pray was overwhelming. People filled churches all across the land. Rarely has the importance of a moment been so clearly delineated." The New York Times editorialized, "We have come to the hour for which we were born." And now, at our moment in history, that's how it is. Once again, we also have come to the hour for which we were born. Will we stand on God's word, or will we conform to this world? Because what is going on right now is a spiritual war. A spiritual war. And the question for Christians is, whose side are you on? God himself has chosen to teach us in Isaiah 30:21. It says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." In his loving grace, he has spoken his word. He has given us the choice. We have the choice to obey obey the absolute truth of the Word of God or disobey? To march forward in his strength or to go backward? This could apply to a million different things, but I'm thinking now about support for the nation Israel. Once upon a time in the United States, political liberals and conservatives stood together on Israel's behalf. This was in World War II. This was when they were given some land for the Jews to come back to, and the whole nation, liberals, conservatives, all were for Israel. All for Israel coming back into the land. We all thought as one. That is no longer true in America. We are divided, 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 split, split, split. But at that time, that was the Great War. That was a great time in our history. We all stood together as a nation, as one. So once upon a time in the United States, political liberals and conservatives stood together on Israel's behalf. Starting with President Harry Truman, a Democrat. Almost everyone in our nation stood with Israel. That was our nation at World War II and following World War II. But in the last few decades in the United States of America, that has all changed. Liberals have turned against Israel. It now has become politically expedient for many on that side to call Israel an apartheid state. Some even equate them to the Nazis, who once murdered more than a third of all Jews worldwide. Then, in just the last few months, a large group of conservatives have joined the most extreme liberals concerning Israel. Conservative voices that you perhaps once thought you could trust are today saying things like, "Drop Israel." Today, when President Trump, his decision, what a fantastic thing, the decisions he made. But he is attacked everywhere in this nation. Everywhere he's attacked for doing the right thing. He did the absolute right thing. God has promised, Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel." That was the Abrahamic covenant. And that promise is absolutely true. At the end of World War II, we were blessed because of our treatment of Israel. And what President Trump did was absolutely right. And once again, he had the guts enough to stand up and to side with Israel and to attack Iran and their nuclear capabilities. That was right. That was great. But he is now being attacked all over this nation. Today, when President Trump goes on social media to back Israel, many of his own voters swarm out of the woodwork with vile statements of pure anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist hatred. In this crucial hour regarding Israel and every other thing in life, we must examine the ground upon which we stand. In Matthew 12, verse 30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." If you're not with Jesus Christ, you're not with Israel. Jesus Christ is a Jew in his true humanity. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of David. And if you're not with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David, then you're against him and you're against Israel and you are a part of the problem in this country. The question that Christians have to ask, are you a part of the solution or are you a part of the problem? In this country right now, many Christians are a part of the problem. They are a part of the problem. According to the United States Department of Defense, D-Day means the unnamed day on which a particular operation commences. We are in the middle of a great spiritual war, and D-Day is here. Where do you stand as Christians? Well, I thought that was a great, great, great article. Now, don't take me wrong. I 100% in favor. I'm glad that Donald Trump had the guts enough to bomb the nuclear facilities in Iran. We even got believers in Philippines listening to my classes. And one of the Philippine ladies in there, she listened to the class when I sang bomb, 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 bomb Iran, you know, from... She thought that was the neatest thing she ever heard. Pastor Olson singing, bomb, 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 Iran. Well, I do. I think that was absolutely fantastic. But I want you to know, our nation is not as one in support of Israel. College campuses all over this nation are anti-Semitic to the core. They hate the Jewish people. They hate the Jews. They wave Palestinian flags. And our president is being attacked not only by the liberals, the socialists, but by many conservatives as well. So pray for your president. Pray for this administration. Pray that God puts a wall of fire around our president, because I guarantee you, because of the liberals under Biden who allow it and all these Iranians into our country, There are Iranian cells all over America. And there's nothing more they would love to do than to take out our president. They're here. Iranian cells are all over America, thanks to Biden. Opening up the borders. And now there's so many. Now we're trying to find them and round them up, and they have some, but we are in a very critical time. Pray for your president. Pray for our nation. All right. Well, we exegeted 2 John verses 7 and 8, and that sounds like this. Because many deceivers, false teachers, have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Verse 8, an intense warning from John. Watch out. Watch out for yourselves in order that you do not lose out on those things you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And in the Greek, it's pleres misthos. PLESMISTHOS. Pleres misthos. So that you may receive a full reward at the judgment seat of Christ. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life, if you're a communicator, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star with its seven privileges, that's the full reward. And for those of you who grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, who are consistent and faithful in your assembly in a sound Bible teaching church, growing up in the Word of God, daily perception of doctrine. For those of you who attain maturity, accomplish the ultimate objective, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you will have these crowns, full reward. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the order of the morning star with its seven privileges, the full reward at the judgment seat of Christ. So verse 8, watch out for yourself in order that you do not lose out on those things you have accomplished. Now that brings us to verse 9. And by way of introduction to verse 9, this is a great, every verse in the Word of God is great and fantastic, absolute truth. But this is one, I really get a kick out of this one. One, in verse 9, we have a contrast between believers who have no fellowship with God, that characterizes many Christians today. They're out of fellowship with God. They're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They're living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So they have no fellowship with God. They have no spiritual life. They have no filling of the Spirit. So in verse 9, we have a contrast between believers who have no fellowship with God with believers who have fellowship with both the Father and the Son. And that's virtue love brought to completion in your heart. They have personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue. They have occupation with Jesus Christ. They have this phenomenal moment by moment, day by day, fellowship with the Father and the Son. And that is the best. Two, in verse 8, John had just warned believers about possible loss of crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 8, John had just warned believers about possible loss of crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Three. Now John, in verse 9, is warning believers that they will lose out on these rewards if they run out of bounds and don't stay on the playing field of sound doctrine, the absolute truth of the Word of God. So now John in verse 9 is warning believers that they will lose out on these rewards if they run out of bounds and don't stay on the playing field of sound doctrine, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Four, John warns them to live the spiritual life and continue in the sound doctrine, in the teaching about Christ, the mind of Christ. John warns them to live the spiritual life and continue in the sound doctrine, in the teaching about Christ from the mind. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. It's the voice of the Spirit. Five, to deviate from the absolute truth of the Word of God, which is sound doctrine, means you have no fellowship with God. To deviate from the absolute truth of the Word of God, sound doctrine, means you have no fellowship with God. Six. This verse is not teaching loss of salvation. Rather, it points to a doctrinal deviation, adhering to false doctrine with its accompanied disobedience to sound doctrine. This verse is not teaching loss of salvation. Rather, it points to a doctrinal deviation, adhering to false doctrine with its accompanied disobedience to sound doctrine. Seven. The epistles of John are all polemics. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We taught 1 John. Now we're teaching 2 John. We finished 2 John. Guess what? 3 John is coming. We finished 3 John, 4 John, 5 John, 6 John, and all the other Johns. So the epistles of John are all polemics against the false doctrine of Gnosticism. That's what it was called in the day of the Apostle John. Gnosticism. In fact, John had one of the leaders of Gnosticism, Cerinthus. He was in John's congregation, and he led multitudes of believers into Satan's cosmic system, led them astray. That's why we have warning upon warning upon warning. Eight, Gnosticism claimed to be a universal religion for all mankind. It claimed to be a universal religion for all mankind. Nine, Gnosticism was the greatest satanic attack up to that point in human history. The greatest satanic attack up to that time in human history. Now we still have the same, Satan hasn't changed. He's still the ruler of planet Earth, and he doesn't have Gnosticism under that name, but it's the same thing that they taught is still being taught today. So that's the introduction to verse 9. So verse 9 starts out, we always start out with the King James Version. Whoever transgresseth. This is the adjective pos plus the articular present active participle of proago. The adjective pos. Looks like this, P-A-S, pos. And as an adjective, it means all or every or each. However, when pos is used with an articular participle, and that's what we have in our verse, then it should be translated, it can be translated whoever or everyone who or anyone who. And we're going to translate it anyone who, and then the articular participle proago. P-R-O-A-G, long O, proago. All right. Few points on this verb. This, by the way, is one of the Gnostics' favorite verbs. They love this verb. They used it all the time, and that's why John picks it out right now, proago. So first of all, as a transitive verb, and you know all of you are English majors, and you know a transitive verb takes the direct object. Good job by you. And as a transitive verb, it means to lead forward, to bring about as a transitive verb. But it's not used that way here. Point two, as an intransitive verb, which is how it's used in our verse, it means to go before, it means to precede, it means to go too far. To go too far. Now, that's very important. Now, point three, Arndt and Gingrich. A and G, the Greek lexicon, page 709, says proago refers to someone who is running ahead of those who are going more slowly. Running ahead of those who are going more slowly. Now, in the ancient world, the time of John and Paul, and that, they didn't play football. Those wusses. Now that was a great, great sport. Football. Now, I'm not talking about soccer, foosball. I'm talking about football. That's a great sport. But they didn't have football. Now they did have a sport I love. Track and field. And God loves track and field. He's using that all the time. See, God loves track. He didn't care that much about football. But he's going to use something here that kind of we can bring football in because we know about football. So they didn't play football in John's day, but this is analogous to a football player trying to score a touchdown by running out of bounds. So, point four. Proago was a favorite verb used by the Gnostics. They considered themselves smarter than everyone else. They considered themselves ahead of everyone else. This was one of their favorite verbs. 5, the Apostle John uses this favorite verb of the Gnostics to indicate the fact that the Gnostics were running out of bounds in the cosmic system. Yeah, they're running ahead, all right. Arndt and Gingrich, this means running ahead of everybody else. They are. They're running ahead. They're running out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system. 6. So the Gnostics are like a football player trying to score a touchdown by running out of bounds. You can't do it. The Gnostics, these false teachers, are like a football player trying to score a touchdown by running out of bounds. 7. Gnosticism comes from the noun gnosis. G-N-long-O-S-I-S. Gnosis. Comes from the noun gnosis. And gnosis means knowledge. 8. The Gnostics were very impressed with their human knowledge. Very impressed with their human IQ. Nine, Gnosticism includes academic speculation. They had a lot of that, academic speculation. Ten, but God, the plan of God, has boundaries. Just like a football field, the plan of God has boundaries. 11, in the church age, the dispensation we're living in, the plan of God for the church age believer is to live the spiritual life. The playing field is the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. And it demands staying within the boundaries, that is, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The spiritual life has definite boundaries. The spiritual life has specific rules. The spiritual life has specific mandates. Specific mandates. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of many is. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Grow up in the grace, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual life is the playing field, and it has definite boundaries, specific rules, and specific mandates. 12. Living in the cosmic system is running out of bounds. Living in the cosmic system is running out of bounds. 13. In the time of the Apostle John, millions and millions of people, both believers and unbelievers, became trapped in Satan's cosmic system through Gnosticism. They were running out of bounds. Gnosticism tries to reconcile the Word of God with philosophy and astrology and mythology. And they bought, believers and unbelievers bought these lies and false doctrine. 13, the Word of God must never be compromised. It must never be compromised with any form of human viewpoint, whether the human viewpoint is from academic speculation or from one's own emotions. The Gnostics rejected salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Instead, the Gnostics taught salvation by works, by human knowledge, getting more and more human knowledge. That was salvation. They considered themselves to have a superior knowledge, superior than the Word of God. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. They denied the deity of Christ. They denied the true humanity of Christ. They denied the salvation work of Christ on the cross. They denied the bodily resurrection of Christ. So, verse 9 starts out. Anyone who runs ahead, anyone who runs out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system, because God has a great plan, the most phenomenal plan for us in the church age. Unique spiritual life. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power comes from God the Holy Spirit. So what do we have? Something that never happened before in human history. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. The power, supernatural power, to live the supernatural spiritual life. It takes supernatural power to live the spiritual life. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and motivation of the heart. Now my job, I'm just an under shepherd. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. My job is to communicate the Word of God. Eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. Exegetically, syntax, etymology, going through every word, word by word, word by word, word by word, line upon line. As we studied in Isaiah 28, they made fun of Isaiah because he taught the Word of God the way he was supposed to teach the Word of God. And there's very, very few pastors teaching the Word of God as it should be taught, eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That is daily perception of Bible doctrine. Well, the Northern Kingdom, they maligned and slandered Isaiah. They go, what does he think we are? He thinks we're just children? Who's he trying to teach? Children? All he does is repeat, 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 repeat. He's teaching like we're babies and children still on mother's breast. We're not going to listen to that guy. Well, they didn't. They died the sin unto death, and the Assyrians came and fifth cycle of national discipline, and they were gone. They were gone. That was it. Anyone who runs ahead out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system. And then the next phrase, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active participle of meno with the negative me, plus the dative singular of didache with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of Christos with the definite article. Chi here is a connective chi. You translate it an. And then we have, well, one of John's favorite verbs. We saw it all through 1 John. Now we're seeing it in 2 John. Meno. M-E-N long O. Meno. The verb meno is one of the Apostle John's favorite verbs to describe the unique spiritual life of the church age. John uses meno 20 times. 20 times in 1 John and 2 times in 2 John. And there's only 13 verses in 2 John. If it were 5 chapters like 1 John, he would use it 20 times here too. He used it in 2 John 2, and he used it in our verse, 2 John 9. So you should know by now, those of you who've been here and went through 1 John, you should be able to teach this better than I can. So one, meno, literally means to stay. And in our verse, it means to stay on the playing field of the spiritual life. That's what it means. Stay on the playing field of the spiritual life. God has a unique spiritual life for us in the church age. Stay on the playing field of the spiritual life. Two, meno means to remain. To remain, to stay, to continue. To abide, to reside. Three, in our verse, 2 John verse 9, we have with meno the negative may. So we have may with meno. So here's meno, but we also have may, M long E, and that's a negative. So we have the negative may with meno in our verse. Anyone who runs ahead, anyone who runs out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system and does not remain on the playing field. And what's the playing field? The absolute truth of the Word of God. The absolute truth, aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God and the spiritual life. Anyone who runs ahead out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system and does not remain, meno with the negative may, on the playing field, the absolute truth of the Word of God and the spiritual life. Point four, in 2 John verse 2, John declares, because of the aletheia, and this is another one of the Apostle John's favorite words. A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. And aletheia is absolute truth. Absolute truth. Jesus Christ declared, I am the way and the aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth. The way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. And then in his fantastic prayer to the Father, he says, Father, sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy word is absolute truth, aletheia. So Jesus Christ, who is absolute truth, declares that the Word of God is absolute truth. And in 2 John 2, John declares, because of the aletheia, absolute truth of Bible doctrine, which keeps on menoing, residing in us, and shall be with us forever. 5. Aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, is the playing field for the spiritual life. Aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, is the playing field for the spiritual life. And it's the basis for your spiritual momentum and your spiritual growth, attaining spiritual maturity, and fulfilling the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, is the playing field. The playing field for the spiritual life and the basis for spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. Six, maximum aletheia in your heart gives you capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness, capacity for adversity and suffering. Undeserved suffering. That mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing, which is reserved for only the winner believer. What an honor, what a privilege that you advance to maturity and are qualified to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. But when you have maximum aletheia in your heart, that gives you capacity for life and love and happiness and adversity and suffering. Seven, maximum aletheia, maximum absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures in your heart means you will have Christmas every single day. Christmas every single day. And Thanksgiving every single day. And that's the best, the absolute best. Christmas every single day, Thanksgiving every single day. So maximum aletheia, maximum absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures in your heart means you will have Christmas every single day and Thanksgiving every single day. Eight, the greatest treasure that you can ever accumulate in your short time on planet Earth is the absolute truth of the Word of God. The greatest treasure that you can ever accumulate in your short time on planet Earth. And we're just here a short time. I mean, when I was a youngster, I thought I was going to be here forever. Now that I'm an oldster, I already got one foot in heaven, the other one trying to get there. It goes fast. We're here today and gone tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not suicidal. I'll be here feeding the flock long as God keeps me here. Long as He gives me the health and strength to study and study and study so I can teach, I'll be here. I mean, you won't, but that's all right. But I'll be here. I don't care if you're here or you're not here. I will be here. Day after day after day. If I operate the way many of you operate, you would never get any doctrine. Because you're never here. But I don't operate the way you operate. I operate under the grace and power of God. And I am here every day, day after day after day. I'm on vacation 365 days a year. I'm on vacation. My happy place is in my office studying so that I can teach, study and teach. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, sir." "Then feed my sheep." And every day in my prayers to the Father, and I love to pray every day. I pray for some of you. Pray for you in the past. I pray, Father, You know that you, the Lord Jesus Christ, asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep." Father, I love you. I love Jesus Christ. I love God the Holy Spirit. Father, if you could just give me the health and the strength so I can keep on studying and teaching the Word of God, I'd be forever grateful. Thank you, sir. Be forever grateful. And he has. So I'm on vacation. Don't you wonder if I take a vacation? I'm on vacation 365 days a year. I'm doing what God put me here to do. This is the best. So the greatest treasure that you can ever accumulate in your short time on planet Earth is the absolute truth of the Word of God. 9. The absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart is a far, far greater treasure than gold, silver, diamonds, jewels. The absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart is a far, far greater treasure than gold, silver, diamonds, jewels. 10. The only thing you can take to heaven is what resides in your heart. The only thing you can take to heaven is what resides in your heart. You won't be able to take your gold and silver to heaven. You won't be able to take your Rolls Royce, Ferrari, your 30 cars that you have in your garage, your house. You won't be able to take those to heaven with you. 11. True wealth is the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. True wealth is the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. And 12, this is the basis for crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the basis for you receiving the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the order of the morning star with the 7 privileges, and for those faithful pastors, the crown of glory. So anyone who runs ahead out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system and does not remain on the playing field, and then N plus the dative of didache. N plus didache. N preposition in plus the dative, dative of means. And didache, what a great word, didache. You know what didache is? You know what the translation of didache is? Doctrine! I had some Christians say, "Where do you find the word doctrine in the Bible?" All over. But there's one word that means specifically doctrine. Didache. Here it is. Didache. Great word. You might want to make a plaque out of that. Put it in your refrigerator or something. Not in the refrigerator, but on the refrigerator. By means of the doctrine. Doctrine. The doctrine, and then of what? Genitive singular of Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Transliteration of the word, and it's translated Christ. It means the anointed one. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the Messiah. When you say Christ, you're saying Messiah. You say Messiah, you're saying Christ. both mean, Mashiach means the anointed one, Christos means the anointed one, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah. Anyone who runs ahead out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system and does not remain on the playing field by means of the doctrine of Christ. Well, that's pretty powerful. And this is the only time you'll see God talk about football. But he loves track and field. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.